Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp. You're listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Friends, without a doubt, I love to hear stories about, or even better, to actually get to witness the transformation that occurs when Christians in healthcare catch a vision for serving the least of these. Sometimes that happens here in the United States, and sometimes it's in a land far, far away across the pond. I'm personally challenged and inspired when I get to hear physicians and dentists, advanced practice clinicians, and the many other specialties that are represented among our CMDA members, what happens in their own hearts when they work among people in another nation who are in desperate need of physical and spiritual remedies. Today, you're going to hear the stories of two physicians from Lynchburg, Virginia, who share with us how God directed them to bring cardiac surgical care to both children and adults in the country of Vietnam. One of my favorite authors, Oz Guinness, writes in his book, Redeeming the Time, that those who respond to God's call, who come to know Him and walk with Him in accomplishing His purposes in the world, are like entrepreneurial partners. Junior partners, of course. I invite you to listen in as Dr. Chad Hoyt and Dr. Tom Forsberg, who are two CMDA member champions, tell us how they have become entrepreneurial partners with a God who decided to die in order to redeem the Vietnamese people and is using their diseased physical hearts to open the door for spiritual heart care as well. Well, today I have with me not one, but two guests, and both are physicians. Both are living in Lynchburg, Virginia, and have clinical practices there. First is Dr. Chad Hoyt, who's a fellow of the American College of Cardiology, did his medical school training at the University of Maryland in 1993, and then completed his residency in internal medicine at Vanderbilt in 1996, and then a fellowship in cardiovascular diseases at Emory Hospital in 1999. Now there specializes in advanced cardiovascular imaging, is a physician leader, executive medical director of Centra's Heart and Vascular Center, which is a busy four-hospital system with seven office locations and 40 clinical providers. So welcome, Chad.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
And with Chad is co-founder of a mission organization, and that's why they're here today, called Healing Hearts Vietnam, Dr. Tom Forsberg, a fellow of the American College of Emergency Physicians, graduated from med school at the University of Buffalo in 2006, and then did a residency in emergency medicine at Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center in 2009, and then has been in partnership at Centra Health and has been doing emergency medical care in ER departments throughout Central and Southside Virginia. Currently, Tom is a medical director for Centra Emergency Services Group, which provides emergency care in Centra's four emergency departments and, wow, has 70-plus professionals working in that system. So welcome, Dr. Forsberg.
Thanks, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're here today because a mutual friend who just happens to be one of our members of our board of trustees, Dr. John Pierce, is a mutual friend and colleague. And he wrote to me several weeks ago and said, Mike, I've heard a presentation by a couple of physicians who are several years into growing a ministry in the country of Vietnam called Healing Hearts Vietnam. And he said, I was so moved. Now, I know Dr. Pierce has a great heart for missions and for raising up harvest workers. And so I listen when he tells me there's a great ministry going on. So how did the two of you get together and in two different specialties and find yourselves falling in love with the people of Vietnam? Chad, you want to take your strike at that?
Sure. So Tom and I met typically 3 o'clock in the morning in the emergency department at Lynchburg General Hospital. And he would consult me with patients that had acute cardiovascular illnesses when I was on call. And so we met and we talked and we realized we attended the same church, which is a large church in Lynchburg. And we had a very active Bible study on Wednesday evenings. It was mainly a physician Bible study with spouses. And Tom and I got to know each other extremely well. And through that, acquaintance, we developed a mutual interest in Vietnam. And I started going to Vietnam in the early 2000s. And then Tom, being a lot younger than me, he eventually came to Lynchburg and got involved as well. And the rest is history. But we initially met in the ED and then had become much, much closer friends through our activities at church and in that physician-led Bible study.
And Chad, you got to Vietnam first. I think you've been doing work there short-term for several years before Tom got involved, and then you formed the organization. Is that right?
Yes, I did. So there was a minister in town. His name was Jim Alley, and he had been to Vietnam many times in the 80s and 90s when Vietnam was a very, very difficult place to get into. And he said, you know, Chad, there's some great opportunities with medical missions there, and I'd love for you to go. And of course, I had small children and I avoided him like the plague, because the last thing I wanted to do was go to Vietnam and get locked up in a prison cell eaten by rats. Well, it didn't turn out to be that way, but he finally wore me down and I went on my first trip and fell in love with it. And so many things, God led in so many ways over the years and led us to become the ministry that we are today. But it was because of Jim Alley's persistence and the respect that I had for him really convinced me to go. And after that first year, I went every year. I've gone every year since, except because of COVID, haven't been able to go the last 2 years. But that was really the genesis.
So, Tom, let me ask you, I've seen, read the vision, written down your vision for Healing Hearts Vietnam. Every child in Vietnam to get life-saving heart surgery, regardless of the ability to pay. And it just seems incredibly, it's like a big, holy, audacious goal. How realistic is that you could actually provide heart surgery? I'm very familiar with Kenya because I was there for a couple of decades, and the list is so long, and I know your list is long. So how are you going to accomplish that vision?
The short answer is by ourselves, we definitely couldn't. However, we have an awesome God who can do above and beyond whatever we can ask or imagine. So some estimates say that there are about 20,000 children with congenital heart disease at any one time that need some life-saving cardiac surgery. And what we do is we just take one by one through our partners that are identified. We work with partners who have boots on the ground in Vietnam who do the surgeries and who identify the patients that need them. And then we provide some financial assistance after they've already received what the government is going to kick in. So that decreases our cost. Mm-hmm. And then we also partner with like-minded boots on the ground who are our representatives who have similar faith to what we do to do checkups on these kids and families so that we can make sure that they're doing well and serve them in a holistic fashion.
Having looked all through your website and read both of your bios and your perspective over the years in working with the Vietnamese, I mean, clearly you have hearts to advance the gospel. Are there multiple points in time in these patients, especially mostly kids and their families, their parents, in whom a country, a non-Christian country like Vietnam, in which you're able to clearly articulate the gospel to these patients and their families?
So obviously, Vietnam is closed to evangelism. And we work with church leaders and churches that are licensed by the government. We try our best to cooperate. But let me share a story about how this has worked and how God has moved. So my very first trip to Vietnam in 2001, I brought this small laptop echo machine. And back then, that was the first prototype. It was a $100,000 machine. And we went down to a place called the Mekong Delta, which is a very rural area in the southern part of Vietnam, and stayed in this hotel room. And I had to charge the echo machine, and it shut down the whole power grid for the city.
Wow.
And so we went into a school, and we had a clinic, and we saw about 600 or 700 patients, and we partnered with some fellow believing Vietnamese physicians. And with my ultrasound machine, I met a lady. She was 30 years old. She had a large atrial septal defect, and she had a significant pulmonary hypertension, definitely needed surgery, didn't have the money. And as we left the clinic and were flying home, I just thought to myself, well, what good have we done? I'm going over there, making the diagnosis, and now we can't help her. So we raised the money for her to have an operation. What transpired was amazing, and I didn't find this out until about 2 or 3 years later, but that lady was so moved by us being able to raise the money for her surgery that she came to know Christ. And not just that, but so did several hospital staff that were taking care of her, and so did multiple family members. And then they started a Bible study in her town, and now there's an actual church in the town. And it was all the result of that one echo and that one encounter. And although I couldn't share my faith, I did what God asked me to do, and I showed Christ's love just by being a doc, you know, which is what he asked us to do, and he did the rest. And it's these local church partners on the ground that really do the watering of the seeds that are planted. So I think that story really has become the foundation for what Healing Hearts Vietnam has become and is. And we just do what God asks us to do. We're trained physicians, and we show his love, and he's done the rest.
So, Chad, it's your local partners on the ground where you're serving in Vietnam, and you've had discussions with pastors, and I heard believing physicians, in terms of what your overall strategy and goals are for patients to hear the gospel.
That's exactly right. You know, we have hand-chosen national partners who are like-minded to us. And that's definitely our goal, is to show God's love to these folks. And these people are so dedicated. And so, you know, these patients are very open to hearing, you know, what Christianity is all about. And it's a great time when they're having surgery. They're receptive. And that seems to really work well. And then the church members will follow up, as Tom stated. And that's just been extremely effective. And we've had an opportunity to go in the homes of these kids and these family members. It's not all kids. We also support adults, but we've had the opportunity to go in their homes. You know, they're dirt poor. It's a humbling and a thrilling experience to see the gratitude and see the lives changed. I remember, and Tom will chuckle about this, but we went into a home a couple of years ago, and a little boy ran out to meet us. He had had, I think, a patent ductus repaired. And we asked him what his favorite activity was, and he said, I like to catch mice in my house. So, you know, you go in there and it's a dirt floor and it looks like your worst garage nightmare. That's where they live. But it was just so moving to get to be with them. Tom, I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but that was a great visit.
Yeah, Chad, another story that really, really hit me was there was a 14-year-old girl a few years ago who her family had known that she had a congenital heart defect. I think she had a big PTSD or something. And turns out they didn't have the money to pay for it back then. So if they don't have the money to pay for at least part of it, they're kind of destined to not get surgery. So actually, 2 years ago, one of our partners, Dr. Twee, who we had actually chatted, worked with GE to have a couple V-scan portable ultrasound machines donated. Dr. Twee goes from town to town with this small machine that enables him to do about 10,000 cardiac screenings a year with echoes in these little towns. And he identified this girl, and the family said, well, you know, we knew this, but we don't have the money to pay for it. He said, well, I work in a hospital that's partnered with this group called Healing Hearts Vietnam, and they will pay for what you cannot pay for the surgery. So long story short, she had the surgery, and she was one of the girls that we actually got to visit in her home. They cooked us a chicken meal, and it was, you know, we were so humbled to be there. And I start talking with her and asking her how she's doing, how she's feeling. And I asked her, hey, are you running? This is a 14-year-old girl. And she said, no, I'm not running. I said, well, have you ever run in your life? And she said, no. I said, well, are you short of breath? She says, not anymore. So I said, well, what we're going to do today right now is you're going to run for the first time because it's safe for you to do that. And she looked at me with these wide eyes, like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I might die if I run. I said, no, we're going to run. So we ran down this little path between banana trees with mountains in the distance in the central highlands of Vietnam. And the smile on her face was just the most beautiful thing I had ever seen.
And Mike, we have video evidence that she's a much better runner than Tom.
That's great.
So that was just the big take home. Like Chad had the woman in the Mekong Delta, this was my take home, that every one of these people, there is a story behind, and not only that patient, but whole families whose lives are changed. Because if there's a child that has congenital heart disease, that means that that family only has one wage earner now, because the mother usually is at home taking care of the child because she can't work. So now if the child is healthy, now it's a two-income family, and it helps break the cycle of poverty as well.
The Vietnamese professionals, the healthcare professionals, whether cardiologists or the surgeons who are performing the surgery, how has this ministry and your presence with them over the years, coming back and forth, have you seen sort of a response? I mean, as dramatic as, you know, salvation, accepting Christ and following, trusting Christ, or have you seen somehow some overtures of generosity and charity on their part toward their own people?
We have a great partner named Mintu, who is the head of a very, very large, she's actually the chief operating officer of one of the largest private hospitals and systems in Vietnam. And she became a good friend of us early on, around when I started going over with Chad about 8 years ago. And we communicate with her basically on a daily basis by email about patients. She has decided, even though she changed hospital systems, decided that she wanted to work with us to help the kids throughout Vietnam. She's seen our hearts and has been touched by that. And she really notices a difference in what we're doing and why we're coming and the love of Christ that we have. Chad has seen similar with some physicians that we provided lectures for as well.
I'll just add to that, Tom. I think that was a great example. And I would say, you know, we've had multiple cardiologists who are on staff over there say, hey, we would love to be involved in some of your screening clinics here in Vietnam. And so we've had some joint clinic efforts. And we have a great relationship with the Vietnamese National Heart Institute. And one of the things that we wanted to say was that, you know, our model is that we support the Vietnamese surgeons and cardiologists do the procedures there so that they can also provide the follow-up. But we've been very careful to find extremely skilled medical personnel. And we feel like when the donors give money to help support surgeries, the outcomes will be good. And they've done a great job with follow-up and communicating with us. But most of them have just really wanted to pitch in and help on the screening clinics. And there was one hospital called Viet Duc Hospital, which is a big surgical hospital in Hanoi. They do all the cardiac transplants, or the majority of them, for the country of Vietnam. And the chief cardiac surgeon there is a great friend of ours. And he said to me, he said, you know, you guys come and you give us lectures. And he said, we would have to pay a lot of money to other organizations to come and do that. And he said, we're really touched and moved by your generosity. So I think they see the love of Christ being shared with them, that we're giving of ourselves. We're not asking for any money. We're doing this because we want to impact that country. And so that's something that's definitely been noticed by them. So yeah, I think there's been a very, very positive effect.
Well, you two docs are the first that I've ever talked to who have gone in and worked in a country where obviously from America, we had a conflict there, and significant, terrible war. Are there any residual impact from that that impacts a relationship or discussions with the Vietnamese about the Vietnam War at this point?
So the very first clinic in the Mekong Delta that I had referenced earlier, several of the patients that I saw were former Viet Cong soldiers, and they were so affectionate and so appreciative. And we have been so positively received. And part of it must be that, you know, the U.S. Economically has supported Vietnam since the war. And I think they see the U.S. as a partner, even though there are different political views. I do believe they view us as partners. You know, that example of those Viet Cong soldiers, you know, they just couldn't be more appreciative. And I think that's the reception that we've received from all the patients. Tom, would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. I mean, my first clinic, I took care of an old woman with back pain who had two sons who were Viet Cong soldiers who were killed in the war. And all she had was love and thankfulness toward me. An interesting story from 2 years ago when we were in Hanoi. is we're working with one of the probably the best government hospital in the country. And they had this big celebration and big kind of to do around us signing a memorandum of understanding with their hospital. And the CEO got up in front of everyone with, you know, the Vietnamese flag and the American flag up there. And he said, you know, a long time ago, our hearts between our countries were broken. And you have come, and you have come with good hearts, and you have come to not only repair hearts physically, but we see that the hearts between our countries are also being repaired and rebuilt through what you all are doing through your love for us.
Powerful testimony. Are you able to suggest to or pray with patients or see them praying with each other? Is any kind of spiritual ministry, are you able to do directly yourselves while you're there?
I would say part of it depends on the region that you're in. You know, Vietnam's a big country, and some areas are more amenable to that than others. You certainly can respond in that way if someone initiates it and they ask you about it. Certainly you can do that. I mean, we try our best to follow the rules when we're there because we want to be able to come back the next year or come back as often as we want to. So I think it's very, very much depends on where you are. We also try our best to reach out to government officials to let them know exactly what we're doing. One of the advantages of partnering with some of the large hospital health systems there is that it adds some legitimacy to what we're doing. And I think a lot of the government officials in Vietnam know who we are now. They know that we're there to make the country better from a medical perspective. And then, you know, we try to let, you know, God work out the rest and the details with our other partners on the ground. But, you know, they know what we're doing, and we try our best to play by the rules, but it's very region dependent, I think, to answer your question, Mike.
Well, this is a CMDA weekly podcast, so I would be remiss as the CEO, executive director, if I didn't ask this question. So how did, in your background, how did either one of you, let's start with Tom, get involved with CMDA as a student or a resident or beyond?
When I entered medical school in Buffalo, I had no idea that there was a CMDA or even what it was. And there are these people in my year of medical school, and actually the year before me, that had been to the same undergraduate institution as me at Houghton College up in New York. Mm-hmm. And they invited me to come to this Bible study through the CMDA. And there was a group of about 10 of us who were there throughout all 4 years of medical school. And Eric Hollett was the CMDA leader that led that chapter. And Dr. David Holmes would have us into his home, him and his wife, Lucy, and they just showed us love. And they were really a shelter for us at a time when, you know, I, as a Christian who wanted to live out my faith, was certainly in the minority of a secular institution. Yes. So CMDA was just instrumental from day one of my medical career.
Chad?
CMDA is near and dear to my heart. And I went to medical school when I was 22. I didn't even live away from home in college. I worked almost 40 hours a week at a family business and kind of put my way through school. And so I moved to Baltimore. I was homesick. First day of orientation in medical school, they talked about, oh, we have a Christian Medical and Dental Society. And so I thought, oh, that sounds great. I'm going to go. And in Baltimore, we had a really, really active group. There were about 40 or 50 medical students when I went on that first meeting, and I made some lifelong friends. It was a lifeline for me, a 22-year-old kid who was homesick and felt like he was over his head. And then between second and third year of medical school, I did a 2-week medical missions trip in the Dominican Republic with CMDA. And that really lit a fire in me and whet my appetite for medical missions. And little did I know that I would draw upon that experience later on as I started going to Vietnam. And I look back on that very fondly, and it was part of, you know, developing me and making me who I am. So CMDA was just an absolute godsend, literally.
Well, it'd be awesome someday if we could take a global health outreach team to Vietnam in partnership with your ministry. That would be
incredible. Oh, amen to that.
Well, I want to conclude the interview by just asking a related question. So what has been the greatest challenge of your ministry there in Vietnam overall? And therefore, our listeners can pray for you in that regard. I think we have a number of prayer warriors that listen on a regular basis to CMDA Matters. And then how can those who are interested in Vietnam and your ministry, how can they best find out more and potentially get involved? If God, the Holy Spirit, puts a desire to find out more and to reach out to Vietnamese?
Well, first of all, the greatest challenge Vietnam is having right now from a medical perspective is COVID-19. They have 1,500 new cases each day in Ho Chi Minh City, which used to be Saigon. So they're on lockdown in that city. And that has really put a halt to a lot of the scheduled surgeries that have been done in the country for over the last year. So that has been a challenge that they've had. Second thing that we have is, you know, the distance and coordinating things halfway across the world. We've been blessed to have excellent partners, but still being over there once to twice a year, there's still some challenges with being halfway around the world.
And then, Chad, how could our listeners find out more and get involved? I know your website is healingheartsvietnam.com, right?
Yes. So the website is a great way. They can look us up on Facebook, on our Facebook page. And I will say this, Mike, another challenge obviously is financial. You know, we're not fundraisers. We have full-time day jobs. We're pretty busy guys. We don't have any administrative cost to the ministry. So everything goes right to surgeries. But we, you know, we want to try to reach a broader net of people who are willing to give consistently to the ministry to help finance surgeries. And so, you know, we just need 8 people a year giving something like $9 a month that pays for a whole surgery. So we want to try to develop a larger network of donors, because if we don't have the finances, we can't pay for the surgeries. And I believe we've paid for almost 500 surgeries now. Wow. Since we formed Healing Hearts Vietnam. And of course, the evangelistic results have been really a blessing for us. So, but I think if people want to learn more, go to the website. You know, Tom and I, they can get in touch with us by email if they have an interest in getting involved in the ministry, whether they have some IT expertise or whether they want to go on a trip or be part of a lecture circuit. I mean, we have any number of ways that they could be used. And so Tom and I would be more than happy to entertain emails from people who might have an interest. And, you know, you mentioned something that really resonates with us, and that is to have a CMDA team come at some point. That would be fantastic. So, you know, thank you so much for asking about that.
Well, I want to close the program, as I sometimes do when I have guests like both of you gentlemen who are serving in the kingdom. My favorite prayer is Paul's for the Thessalonians, the church that he really loved, is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. So I keep on praying, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give both of you power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live and practice, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his name I pray. Amen, Tom, and amen,
amen,
Chad.
Amen.
You know, I was so pumped. I was inspired by this conversation with Dr. Hoyt and Dr. Forsberg. What they're doing in Vietnam is such a great example of what Paul told the believers in Corinth. He said, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Well, that proclamation by Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:14 has got me thinking about the letters CMDA as Christian medics with a divine aroma, the aroma of Christ. James and Chad asked that we would make their contact information available to you, so you can look for those contacts in our show notes if you wish, or you can get connected with them by going to their website, healingheartsvietnamoneword.com. Well, fall is here, and that means we've got some great conferences that are coming to help you follow Christ in healthcare and also to link up with others in healthcare who care as much about following Christ and impacting their patients for Him as you do. The first is CMDA's Emerging Leaders in Dentistry Regional Conferences. And the first will be September 17th and 18th in Lexington, Kentucky. And that one will be followed by three other regional dental conferences across the United States in late September and October. You can find out more about locations and dates and also to register at cmda.org/events. One of our long-established ministries for women physicians and dentists in Christ and other women who are healthcare professionals, they will be hosting their 2021 conference on September 30th through October 3rd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The women who lead this ministry of CMDA look forward so much to gathering with you in person or online at the end of September. I'm told that registrations are actually approaching record numbers, over 200 and climbing, because women have been longing for this community and fellowship in person for a long time because of this COVID pandemic. Don't forget to take advantage. There will be 16 hours of live and enduring CE credits through this conference. For more information or to register, just visit cmda.org/events or click the link in our show notes today. You can learn the valuable skills of coaching just like I did earlier this year by registering for CMDA's upcoming 501 Foundations in Christian Coaching course. The first of two courses is actually chock full, but you can still participate in the evening cohort Tuesday evenings, October 12th through November 16th for 6 weeks from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. This course is approved for up to 12 CME credits and is open to all healthcare professionals, students, residents, as well as their spouses. Let us reserve a spot for you before this final course for 2021 fills up. You can register or find out more information at cmda.org/coaching or by emailing our coaching team, coaching@cmda.org. And finally, for our CMDA members located in the Midwest, there is the 2021 Midwest Fall Conference. It will take place October 15th through the 17th at the Maranatha Bible Conference Center in Norton Shores, Michigan. You will hear outstanding, inspirational speakers and receive continuing education credit while enjoying the scenic eastern shores of Lake Michigan. For more information on how to register, just click the link in our show notes or go to cmda.org/events. Well, as I close, CMDA is grateful for the work of two of our CMDA members, Dr. Hoyt and Dr. Forsberg, who are serving hard to heal hearts, both physically and spiritually, in Vietnam. What an incredible privilege for any of us to receive a divine invitation to participate in the healing work of Jesus Christ, serving needy patients with excellence and compassion while integrating a focus on spiritual heart transformation is a mandate from the great physician to all of us at CMDA, whether you are a member or one of our leaders. So it is a matter of top priority for CMDA and CMDA Matters. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with these two dedicated doctors. Make sure you subscribe and share this episode with a friend who might be interested in getting involved in missions. Let us know how we're doing if you just give us a rating on your podcast platform and send us your comments by emailing cmdamatters@cmda.org. I have received some excellent suggestions for guests recently, so just keep them coming. This September, we've chosen a brand new book released in August by a former guest on CMDA Matters who will be joining me again next week on the podcast, Dr. Far Curlin, who's from Duke University. He wrote a book together with Christopher Tollefson entitled The Way of Medicine, and it tackles the questions, what is medicine? And what is medicine for? What does it mean to be a good doctor? Well, I'm looking forward to releasing that interview with Dr. Curlin next week and getting this book hot off the presses into your hands
as a token of our appreciation for your donation of any amount to CMDA. Thank you for helping CMDA fight for Hippocratic and, even more importantly, biblically sound medicine in the public square. Be sure you check out this book that so articulately explains why our advocacy team, led by Dr. Jeff Barrows, is so busy engaging on your behalf on so many issues right now, both at the federal and state levels, every single day. Just go to cmda.org/bookofthemonth, one word, to give your gift today, and we will send you Farr's book right away. Thank you for listening today. Share this podcast with a friend. We'll be back next week. Jehovah Rapha, our healer, willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.